Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Where I from Baton Rouge.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So with me, boy, I doing the best I can. Trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from.
Good night, Bahamas. And again, welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. A Scoochie Scrooge or Scroogie or Daddy. Telephone numbers tonight on this wonderful station is 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC. And like I say, it's always a pleasure to be able to come on the airwaves and to express some of the problems we're facing in the country and find alternative solutions for some of our problems in the country. And me as a talk show host, but most importantly, I'm a community leader and I'm a nationalist, means I for the country. Not for a political party, not for no organization, but for God and Mother Earth and each and every one of you who I basically do not know, because I understand that we are all a tree, and we are a tree, and we are leaves, we like it or don't like it, and we are all gonna be born. And we're all gonna die. So why is we here? Our job is to see how much people we can uplift as much as possible and try to live a prosperous life and hope to pass it on to the next generation so that we can have a beautiful country where we can enjoy our seas, we can enjoy, you know, our beautiful air. Our beautiful culture. So we got 700 islands, 700 keys. So the Bahamas is one of the most beautiful set of places of islands in the world. And we have yet to really experience it as citizens in the country. And, you know, we have to open up the horizon of our citizens, to our teenagers, our kids, and let them see what it is to really live in the Bahamas and really to travel the world. You know, like Bimini, for a prime example. Most visited fishing resort, not only in the Bahamas, but in the world. And there's so much to be explored in Bimini, and especially many of the family islands has to offer. So there's quite great opportunity out there for our citizens, just that we have to be able to give them the opportunity. On today's show, we're gonna talk about some of the topics that have been circling around the news, in the newspaper, social media, and we're gonna put it together today on the show. One of our first topics we're going to talk about is it's getting close to the generation, and two of the superpowers, the PLP and FNM, And then an upcoming organization known as the Coalition of Independence is trying to make a mark. We're going to see how that goes. They're gaining some traction, but the two major parties, at least three major parties that are competing for the prime minister for the government of the country, and that's the prime minister seat that these three organizations are fighting for. Recently, the prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Brave Davis, was scaring up his party and party supporters as to what they need to do as to influence the Bahamian public to give the Progressive Liberal Party an opportunity to govern again. And to me, you know, that's my opinion. If you ask me what type of individual do I think the prime minister is, I think that he's not a bad prime minister. You know, he's governing. If we look at the last, say, two between Perry and Hubert Alexander Minnis, I would say Brave is way better than both of them. Even more humble. You know, he's doing some stuff. His greatest challenge right now is corruption in the government agencies, especially the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and how he's going to deal with those corruption allegations against senior officers. That is going to dictate, you know, who is going to be the next government of the country, because most people would judge the government on that performance, because it affects us all as citizens in the country. If you ask me, as a person from the streets, where I still live every day and see the struggles, what the problems is, and the problem's still there, slow progress, and you ask me, what is the government performance to that? I would say, for me, it's going to be a no. Be a no for me because, you know, I've been fighting a long time for changes in the countries. It's slow progress. They're doing some good programs, but it's still very, 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 very slow. But if they ask me for the governance, investments, they get A+ for that, you know. Also, they're empowering a lot of individuals as far as semi-contracts and contracts. You know, that is good, but mostly party supporters. But at the same time, it's trickling down, but it's a slow trickle down. You ask me if they can do more. I think they could do about 30% more. I'm going to talk about it a little more on the show. But overall, you know, he's a good prime minister. But like I say, the impact that's supposed to be happening in the inner city community based on high volume of crime, high volume of poverty, no hospital beds, even though the government now is in the process of building a new hospital in Old West. But it's, you know, it's a slow process. Let me see. All right. Yeah, it's like a slow process. For me, I'm saying that, you know, because I truly believe that more investment can be made. More, but we are seeing that we as a third world country, right, but next to the U.S., we as a government and governments that come and go BLDF and them. It's not been an urgent policy to modernize the country by the expansion of the population of the citizens in the country. Okay, when it comes to bushfires and fires we had at the hotel downtown, Victoria Hotel, that took hours to be extinguished because we didn't have the adequate fire engines. We had to request fire engines from the airport. Okay, then we had police headquarters on the top of East Street Hill. In between there, it's going to build a new fire station because fire station that was by police headquarters wasn't fit or in the right condition to house the Royal Bahamas Police Force, firemen, and fire trucks because the place is run down. So what I'm saying is that we only had about two ambulances working in the whole new province. Then we have the Minister of Health who's supposed to know these things, who's supposed to make this a priority to say, hey, we have a population of a lot of chronically ill persons in the country, and we get overwhelmed with the high volume of shooting we have in the country. You know, we're looking at every week we have 9, 10, or 15 people getting shot. Two probably get killed every week. And we have a problem on ambulance assistance because we have to put the most important emergency ahead of the less important emergency. So that means if someone is probably having a heart attack or someone is in a car accident and there's a call coming to the hospital, they would have reroute the ambulance to where someone gets shot. And the response time is going to be within 30 minutes. And so what I'm saying is that with a growing population, we're supposed to be able to say, hey, let's keep up with the numbers of ambulance that we need to sustain the volume of patients we're going to come, but that we know is going to come in the hospital based on the statistics we have every year with 100 plus murders, with a lot of calls for chronically ill disease. And they could do the numbers because they have the statistics because we are one of the highest, or someone getting a car accident, or what, et cetera. So we know we need a volume of ambulance. How could we as a country and as a government, PLP or FNM, how we do not have a balance check? That means when the Minister of Health comes in, or before he comes in, he done do a study and say, hey, Chief, we're going to need 20 ambulances, based on the volume of shooting victims we have coming weekly. And we need to have ambulance on standby so that we could have a quick response time for persons with non-life-threatening cases. So you have some for, let's say you have four ambulances there, or two ambulances there, or three ambulances there on standby just for shooting victims. And then you'd have some ambulance on the side there for other chronically ill diseases and stuff like that, or transportation. And then you could have an ambulance stationed around different sections around Nassau with different checkpoints. So I say we're not planning because, again, I've always said this, the only reason we have a government, like I said, the Prime Minister is a good Prime Minister. I think he's doing the best that he can. I just think that the candidates and members of Parliament who hold this position, they're not studying as the minister are not performing to their capability because they spend their time in the House of Parliament back and forth. Instead of they do the people business because we are taxpayers and they work for us. The only reason we're getting these firefighting vehicles now is because, which is going to cost us $12 million, it's because of the embarrassment by the government. Is the reason now we are getting these 12 million firefighting. But what before time? Why didn't we plan for this ahead of time? I hope that the opposition announcement of several candidates that they just recently selected to be the candidates in the upcoming general election. I hope that they know their position. I hope that they are studying that when they hold these ministries, as the Minister of Education, as the Minister of Health, as the Minister of National Security, what is it that the country needs and how you're going to implement it and how it's going to be effective even before you get in office. So I have nothing against these 17 candidates or any member of parliament because I am a beam and I'm happy for the young candidates and I'm happy for the sitting members of parliament. Because as a Bahamian, we have to be, and as a human, you have to be happy for others, okay? Regardless of what's going on in the country, because all of them, in some way or somehow, are helping somebody. Some way or somehow, okay? And they are families, and they're taking care of their families, you know? And I'm happy for that. Whether it's the PLPF and them, you know, anybody who is taking care or making some money and taking care of their family and putting them to the best schooling and et cetera, give them the best environment that they could thrive in. You know, I have nothing against them, but I hope that they are studying. I hope that these members and candidates are studying. You know, what the country needs, that when you go and you hold, you only get near 12 million firefighting vehicles because of the fires that happened, the bushfire, what happened in Freeport, where the Honorable Opposition Leader Michael Pintard had to go and borrow some fire trucks, okay? And he's doing a tremendous job on the ground as well. But he had to get some fire trucks with the bushfire that was affecting people in Freeport. I don't understand that. Where's the government fire engine or the Port Authority fire engine? And looking on the news, he was there on the ground and he had to request these. Just like the gentleman on the family island, I think it was Elutra, or one of those family islands where there was a fire that affected many houses. And this guy, you know, he was a businessman. And he said, you know, if the government's not going to do it after they had a devastating fire, he said to himself, you know, he's a businessman, must he well off? You know, instead of him, you know, waiting on government, he went and he bought two fire engines that he says is the community owned, you know. And again, the ministers need to think. They need to have a team, you know, because if not, tragedy has to happen or pressure has to happen in order for you to move. That means that it's just a regular day. Let the country go on. And when something tragic happens, we try to fix it. When we know we're supposed to be planning ahead of time. China, plan 100 years ahead. America, plan ahead. Iran, plan ahead. Russia, plan ahead. Obama's planning ahead for poverty, misery, everyone losing a loved one. Every year, 100 plus families got to cry for a loved one. Poverty, young girl getting boring up in the house. Let me read this now. Portable stove caused a fire that killed a child. A tragic house fire that left a child dead and three others severely burned early this month was caused by a portable stove in the bedroom, Police Commissioner Shanton Knowles said. Okay? Here's the things I'm on this radio for. Okay? We heard the Minister of Social Service about 2 weeks or 3 weeks prior talk about the fact that mothers are allowing their young daughters to go there and use their body so that they can be able to pay the bills. Okay? We got kids. A family with kids, excuse me. And because of the condition of the unempowerment, you know, people live in these houses and, you know, in their bedroom they had a stove. How big is this house, you know? And I'm not being, you know. And, you know, fires can always happen, you know, not taken away. Nothing from the family. But when people don't have it, they just don't have it. You know, and our government needs to understand this. People who vying for power in the country needs to understand this. All these small things that I'm talking about right now, same small, but these are the biggest problem in our country right now, because we have still people living in homes where kids, you know, and where kids have to be there, you know, because that's all the mother has. And the mother, according to the report, is a good mother. You know, she left someone there, and the elderly person just falls asleep. You know, the kids weren't there, you know, and, you know, the kids, them already know how to take care of themselves, you know, because when the parents go out, they go out and earn a living so that they can bring back something home to eat. The kids, them know how to take care of their brothers and sisters, you know, and they love one another. And then things happen sometimes, kids forget, and fires happen, you know, especially if the house don't have no fires. It can be so important as to go around to these houses that, you know, don't have adequate lighting and, you know, stove and et cetera, and see how they can introduce the fire extinguisher in the inner city community, as long as alarms and, you know, and fix the houses and stuff like that, you know, and have social service in these inner city communities door to door, because this is what goes on in our country. And that's why we have a revolving of criminal activity continuing in our country, even though the Minister of National Security is saying crime is down, even though the new commissioner, Ms. Shanta Knowles, who is doing a tremendously good job, stated. But yet the current information that was passed from social service, when they're saying mothers, social service ministers stating that mothers are using their daughters, and it could be the boys too. Okay? You never know. So, for sex, in order to pay the bills, they're going to have children. So what kind of parents are they going to be? Because one day they're going to have children, and they're going to have children at an early age, and then the cycle continues in our country. So I just want to say that I hope these candidates, I hope the government and everyone understand that we have these small little signs where kids are getting buying up home, where the social service is talking, where we have a high child abuse in the country, okay? We have a high divorce rate in the country. We have a high single parent home in the country. We have poverty roaming through our country. It's hard to live in this country. It's hard. I know we don't blame the Haitians. You know, we have a right to. You know, we want to blame somebody. We have a right to. You want to blame the white man? We have a right to. You want to blame the half of them? We want to blame the PLP? We want to blame the church? We have a right to, because us as citizens, all those things combined together probably is what affects our citizens. But the problem is getting worse. It's just that our leaders are not listening. The church is not listening. The government is not listening. The opposition is not listening. They're talking like they're listening, but they don't understand what is happening to our country. Day by day, deterioration of the family structure. Nas are so boring. The statistics that was given last week concerning the decrease in crime, it shows you that more than 1,100 young males were locked up for selling dangerous drugs. And out of that, they said about 900 were charged before the courts. We have 1,700 young men and females in the prison. So, it ain't just about winning the government. We know what the problem is. How are we going to stop trying to band-aid on it? Stop talking about the statistics about crime done, because crime is not done. Okay? Because anywhere now, so you could go anytime, and someone could get killed in this country and in the world. So I just want to, I hear it every year, crime done, you know, and Commissioner Ms. Knowles, you know, I was listening to her. Anyway, let me just play these three clips and then, you know, Shanta Knowles, you know, she spoke on the matter, and she knows you're talking about crime is done, you know, that's police statistics. And then she said, through the grace of God, that's why crime is done. And she said that, you know, let her not speak on it, because anytime we talk about it, we say crime done, it spike. Because it will spike again. Because it just, those guys who doing crime, who are in jail, who got killed, they will be replaced by one of those same young girls who social service, the minister of social service, stated that mothers are prostituting their daughters for them to go and use their body so that they could be able to raise money to pay the bills in the house, and they're going to have children. So that's the spin cycle right there again. So it's never going to go nowhere, Commissioner. I've seen it. I've studied this. I've lived in the community. I've lived through this. I've lived through some of the most roughest and most dangerous times in the country. I was a part of it. I was a bystander. I'm still a bystander. And I watch the streets every day. And I travel the streets every day. I walk the streets every day. I talk to people. Occurrence happening over and over because of the undevelopment that is happening in our country from both governments who hold power. The service is terrible in the country when it comes to going to the hospital, when it comes to go and put in the police complaint, when it comes to go to government agencies to turn around, social service to turn around. You know, it's like people are not treated with respect. You know, I thought social service was supposed to be able to help. They are helping, but a lot of people get turned around a lot and a lot and a lot and a lot, and they get frustrated. and they don't go back no more. You know, the minister was speaking on these matters. So I applaud the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Brave Davis, you know, in the statement. You know, the civil servant, a lot of them got their paychecks a few days ago, and a lot of them are quite happy. The government used that budget, and a lot of people who had back pay, they received that. So a lot of government happy, the police, defense force, teachers. A lot of people are happy right now because the government gave them their back pay, and, you know, so a lot of them are real, real, real happy right now. So it's crazy, man. It's crazy. You could play the clip. So the Prime Minister, before you play the clip, so the Prime Minister was talking about how he wanted his party supporters to work, but he also wanted the government agencies to go out and perform their due diligence. He's talking about the nurses and doctors and all of them who are working for government to go out and serve the general public. Also, the Minister of Labor, the Honorable Pia Glover Rule, you know, that's my schoolmate at C.R. Walker, so I'm quite happy for her as well. We went to C.R. Walker. I graduated in 92. I think she graduated in 93 or 94. I think I was 2 years ahead of her, but we signed to get it in the school. And I'm so happy for her as a female, but also as a person who has gained the highest honor as to serve. And she is doing a tremendously good job. You know, so, and she as well is talking about the agreement that we just signed with the unions, and she said that now you receive that, now you got to go out and perform, because we have to serve the doctors and nurses and the police and stuff like that, how they talk to people, especially the police sometimes in the station, not all the police, some police are very polite, but you know, we have a lot of persons who when you go in the station, they disrespect, ask a question. They're very disrespectful, and they're supposed to be protecting and serve, and they work for us, but they have a way of being very disrespectful to the Bahamian public. It's all right. It's all right if the Bahamian person goes into the station and be disrespectful toward the police. Then the police has the right to act abusive. But the verbal abuse that many Bahamians go through when they go in the station is terrible. And many of our government officers as well. So I just want to play a clip and then we go from there.
I would like to acknowledge Dr. Lockhart's comments on productivity and customer service and send a charge to our unions. As we deliver as a government on these dozens of agreements, it's also time that you hold your members accountable for productivity, for quality customer service, and for an honest day's work in exchange for an honest day's pay. We are happy that you as unions are negotiating on their behalf, and is this level of shared responsibility that we use to protect and preserve the integrity of what we're building. And that is an improved and a more efficient public service. It's a work in progress, but together we can make the necessary changes.
Yeah, and the public service has to be, you know, be acceptable for the general public. That service that is going on in our country has to change if we want a better country, because we all be humans here, and because there's no nation in the world that can function on just as one nationality. If you think for 1 minute that Bahamians only need to be here, and only Bahamians need all the jobs, and only Bahamians need... No. The world don't work like that. It don't work like that. Nationalities from all over the world is in just about every other country in the world, and all of them contribute together to make a better country. America was built like that. France was built like that. Africa was built like that. People always used to trade in Africa. So it would be irresponsible for someone to say, you know, it's just Bahamians. No, we need different nationalities here in the country, you know. We need nurses from the Philippines. We need doctors from Cuba. You know, we need, you know, along with Bahamian doctors and nurses, because they bring, combined together, it's a nursing industry, and each nation and culture brings something to the table from the nursing industry. Just from all around the Caribbean, and they sit down, they strategize on programs that could be more effective in their country. And they, you know, that's why governments, ministers and prime ministers go to forums to stretch strategy, you know, and then you come up with creative ideas and stuff like that. It could be the next. So she's talking, Pia Glover's talking about performance, and that's what we need again, you know. I treat people with dignity and respect and understand that we have to show hospitality, and that's what's really missing in our country, you know. We have a lot of us has bad stinking ways, you know. Some of us believe we better than somebody, you know, we better than everyone. You know, we don't like this one or we don't like the one. But who you is that don't like nobody? You think you're better than that person? The only thing I believe I'm better than somebody is the decision I make in life. You know, decision, what I make in life makes me better than that individual, because I'm not going to do certain things that the individual does that I feel is wrong. I want to build my life on what's right and what's true. And I don't want to do something to somebody that I don't want someone to do to me. I want to be a law-abiding citizen. I want to be a good neighbor. I want to help people as much as I can. I want to live a good life. I don't want to be in no problem. You know, so this would make me a better person, because I know that individual, he talk bad with people, causes problem, ain't a one friend, can't be trusted, carry nose, you know, so disrespectful. So that's how I feel, what makes me different based on how I try to live my life accordingly to the words of God and also to humanity. Be kind, be truthful. You can play the next.
We have had a number of shootings over the past week, and we're not proud of that. We hope that people in the community would assist us with information as to those who are responsible for committing those offenses and causing harm to others. And so, again, the appeal goes out for members of the public who may have information to call us. Contact our Crime Stoppers line, 328-8477, to give us the information. Please know that our offices are on the streets. There are a number of offices on the streets on every given time. All of our shifts are properly covered, and they are working the community. I also have foot patrols on the communities through our urban renewal teams. And so I want the people to know that the police are out there. We are out there. We are working as hard as we can to allay the fears of the people in the community. We know that our numbers are down. We don't want to brag about it. We don't want to talk about it, because we know we have so much about it, things will happen. But we do know that our numbers are down. And I think it is because of the working of the good Lord, always. And then, of course, the hardworking men and women and the people in the community who supports us.
I truly agree with her. Through the works of the good Lord, through the police and through the community. But again, Commissioner, it's going to take way more than just it down now. Because at the end of this year, not putting no jinx on nobody, you know, because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in this country. We're still going to finish with 100 murders per year. Y'all understand me? You're still going to end up with 100 murders per year, or close to it. So it isn't about it's done. It's about the intent to kill. There are so much people out there, if you just listen every day, who get mad, and the first word come of their mouth, they won't kill. Or I get my gun. That's all you hearing. Anytime there's an argument with two friends who cool with basketball, or someone in a nightclub, back and forth. So the intent is there. And trust me, the intent is real. Because when a man speak at something, he mean it. So the intent is there. So we have to find a way of getting the intent of the majority of our citizens' mind. Poor 100,000 population, right? If we have 100 murder, it is considered a conflict zone. So all we're going to have is this. As time goes, someone's going to lose a loved one. Some Bahamian family's going to lose a loved one. Some Bahamian family's going to lose one in a few days. And then the next couple of days from now, we had someone get killed again. You don't know who it could be. It could be me. It could be your brother. It could be your sister. It could be your mom. It could be a child. Yeah, shoot. You know? And that's the reality of our country right now. That's the reality of our country. You know, and all this reflect back on the fact of we are not serious on trying to solve the problem in our country. We have the solutions to many of our country's problems. Okay, let me just say this. There is no solution to crime, okay? There is no solution to crime. Here's the thing. There's a way you can uninfluence a lot of the individuals who would be involved in crime, not to put themselves in crime. Here's a prime reason I can say that. And I know people can change if they're given the opportunity. I changed my life, Ron. No pastor changed me, Ron. No beliefs changed me, Ron. No friends changed me, Ron. My change, Ron, came because I wanted to change. I wanted a better life. And I knew if I keep up the life that I was living, I was going to be a dead young man on the streets of National Providence. I also didn't have a future. I didn't have no trade. I wasn't good at nothing. I mean, I was good at things. Call it coming to you right now. And when I wanted to change my life around, and I ended up meeting some people who were very high esteem in the country, like Ms. Elaine Pinder. I started to meet Celine Pinlin. I started to meet Tommy Twinquest, you know. I meet Derry Bartlett. I met Michael Jackson. I met Magic Johnson, you know. And I started to meet Neil Ellis. I know Neil Ellis personally. You know, I know some of the former commissioner of police. I know the majority of politicians because, you know, I was a diehard PLP. I also work with the Free National Movement, working under Tommy Twinquest. And when I see that, hey, if I change my life around, I might can make a difference on letting these people who have the power, the trust in me, and some of the information I give to them concerning the poor, the single parent home, the conditions of the community, of no community center, at least no structure, no empowerment, and why the community the way it is when it comes to violent crime. And I said, this could be a great opportunity. And I started to change my mindset, and I completely changed my mindset. And I become productive, and my mindset completely changed, you know. I wasn't in the company no more. I wasn't in the violence no more. All I was into was seeing those kids and seeing those all the persons in the community asked me if I could help them do something, and I was able to assist the best way I could. And all of that changed me, make me into person now who just wants to help and give back and think nothing about wickedness or hatred. The only thing I desire is to see a better country. I'm going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on inside in the city on Garden Road.
Hey, Scrooge. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Good night to you.
Scrooge, and it's something that you said just now.
Go ahead,
that
sir.
There is no solution to crime. I personally believe that there is a solution. There are many solutions to crime. However, there's certain parameters we have to take into consideration. Mm. Firstly, we have to look at the economics of our people, the standards, how our people are living. Are we forced to be begging and robbing persons because of the lack of financial or economic capabilities? That's one part. The second part is that we have laws on the books that even though they were not meant to stop crime, they were basically meant to basically have people to understand that if you take a life, then your life should not be spared. It should be taken. And the state can do that. But we have got so slack with the laws, whereas we have been dictated by the day's norms, whereas, some people say that God didn't intend man to take the life of another. Mm-hmm. But there are steps, even in the scriptures, mm-hmm. it even shows that. Where if an eye for an eye, you take a life, then your life should also be taken.
Yes, sir.
It is there to be a deterrent, or to be a penalty, but not to really stop it. It just costs you to stop to think. Well, if I do this crime, then what is going to be the repercussion for me?
Yes, sir.
So there are many countries around the world who figured out the formula.
Mm-hmm.
To have either reduced crime or no crime at all.
Yes, sir.
We have examples of those countries,
yes.
You know.
Yes, yes.
We got New Zealand, we got Switzerland, who have virtually no crime.
Yes.
You know, we could go down the list. There are examples.
Yes, sir.
But our leaders do not have the wherewithal or the stamina to really push the laws for us to get our country back to the point where we could become law-abiding once mm-hmm. again without having to worry about anything.
Yes.
And that's where it's at,
yes.
You know. So there is a solution
yes.
to crime. There is a way to reduce crime. But do you have the stomach and the heart to do the hard work and to really be
yes.
hard and just to get this work done?
Yes.
And that's it,
yes.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Sir, I'm so happy you said that. Because earlier, remember they mentioned the fact about the child abuse? We have high child abuse. Child abuse. We also have, social services are stating that mothers was allowing their daughters to go there and use their body for ways to get money. So what you're saying, caller? I was saying, like putting it together, like how you say everything comes together. That's what I was talking about. So if our leaders are not doing like what you said, then there's no solution. Because I figured out the same format you figured out, sir, is what I figured out a very long time ago by analyzing the community, studying the community, trying to find out what the solution is. And like I said, we have the solution, right? But when I said that there's no solution to crime, because I was saying that over the years, our leaders, right, failed to act, knowing that it comes down to poverty, okay? And how, if we want to reduce crime, to deter the crime, you're talking about the law as well as hanging and et cetera, I agree with that, because that would be deterrent. But also to minimize those who would think about doing crime, how do you stop them from thinking about doing crime? By empowering them. Okay? So, Carla, you're completely correct. Okay? So, the whole show was to draw a picture about what's affecting us. And you hit the nail on the button just now when you said that, you know, you disagree what I said. But you really didn't understand fully what I was saying. But you knocked the nail right on the head, and I'm glad you called, because I wanted you to knock the nail on the head to see if anyone out there could understand exactly where it's coming from. Because what he said is exactly what's happening in our country. Are leaders willing to solve crime? Are they ready to get down and dirty, to go in these communities, to build up these houses, to invest in small time? Are they ready? In the schools, we're going to put empowerment programs, trades in the schools. And even if we have to pay the kids to come to our training classes, why not? If you have to pay guys on the streets to come learn a trade, why not? Because they're going to be less, they're going to be not really interested. Because, honestly speaking, Carl, I'm going to come to you right now. It has come to a point right now that if you go and you put a trade school in the inner city community, right? And as much as we want help right now, if we don't have something to give to them boys or them girls, they ain't coming there. Only a few. And they're not going to be really interested because at the end of the day, they want something in their pocket. So why not? Let's do these things. Let's think out the box. We're going to have to invest serious money into changing the mindset. So if you open a trade school right now, you got to say to yourself, if you could get 100 or 50 young men and females in there, you're going to say, man, I got to see if I can give these individuals on the 250 and one gift card to go to Super Value. Because a lot of them aren't working and they can't find work. But this idea of empowering them and putting training centers like BTVI in the inner city community, along with community centers, this would change the mindset in our country. You might say, why pay? Listen, poverty. These kids ain't getting nothing going for them. You can't bring them down. But the people put the kids put in the stove in the bedroom because there's no space. Come on, man. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, Scroogey, boy. First of all, good evening. I hope you're doing well, buddy.
Thank you very much. I'm all fine, son. Thank you very much, sir.
Scroogey, you really took the words right out of my mouth. Like I said, I have been saying, me along with, I mean, this was 52 ideas. Scroogey, the government has many plans, you know. Right now, they are starting the so-called National Apprenticeship Program, right?
Yes, sir.
But these things are targeted to people who, you know...
It's not going to reach them. It's not going to reach them. That's what you're saying. Go ahead. Sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead.
It's not reaching the people. It's not reaching them. The government need to bring the school, like I've been saying, bring BTBI into the community.
Yes.
These young men, you know, the other day, the security said he was down to the passport getting passport for the criminals because they have no national ID. These guys, they don't have, they drop out of school.
They don't have nothing.
They have nothing.
Nothing.
And this government, the people, they don't seem to understand. See, you have to live among these people to know what's
understand.
Going on. They hide.
They don't understand.
Polluting positions, and all they're doing is throwing good money after bad. All they're doing is throwing money, but it's not getting to where it needs to go.
No.
It's not getting to those individuals out there.
No.
Who, you know, the government need to, when Cynthia Mother Pratt and Allen.
Alton and Allen.
Head of Urban Renewal, right?
Yes,
their
sir.
Plan was to go into these inner city areas and take a census of every house.
Mm-hmm.
Find out in every house who lives there, what are they doing. Go and how can we help if you're not working? Bring these trades, because some of these guys are very smart. You know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Some of them, they're not dumb. You know, I was talking to the line that they've been sending. Said yes, but if people want it, but you see, you will always have one or two individuals in these areas who are going to shine, okay?
Yes.
We've had people who've come out of Baintown, who've gone to public school and they excel. They even got scholarship schools and whatnot. Yeah, you always have that exceptional, you know, individual. But the masses, the people who are wreaking havoc on us, who will potentially turn into that criminal mindset, these are the ones that the government
are leaving behind
to reach.
You need to reach.
The government, through the urban renewal program, stop sitting up in that office in air condition doing a bunch of foolishness with the people of money. Urban supposed to be in the area working, you know?
Yes,
get
sir.
Get out there and grab these.
Yes, sir.
And find out who everybody in the MPs should, that they should know everybody in their particular, I mean, not the whole, because there's only certain areas in these constituencies that they need to, especially like what we call the inner city areas.
Yes, sir.
You know, that they need to focus on, you know, and grab these fellas and put them in the process. Yes, some of them have records and whatnot, and people may be afraid to hire them, but you could teach them a trade, man. What do you name is Mr. Leonard Sands. You say how much these Masons members make, $200 a day?
Yeah. Yes.
I need to go be a Mason, eh?
Yes, sir.
You know? these guys are making $200 a day being Masons and carpenters and all these kind of, oh, you go to BTVI. How you go to BTVI? And the people ain't got the money to go to BTVI.
And it's so far.
No bus.
And it's so
you know
far.
How you go all over? See, they don't understand, man.
And some of the guys have been problems, so they ain't taking a chance going over there because
they
don't want to start, man. They don't want to start.
Set up little mini BTVIs, and you will see
the difference.
You will see the mindset. You will
see change
in this country.
Yes, sir.
But they keep, we have the National Training Institute. Where? Way down Glasson Road, way down this place. Oh, we have, and I told the guy on the when he's from the Defense Force, we are recruiting for this. I said, but you only reaching the people. Oh,
no, yes, they're not reaching.
You coming in, but you asking for all of this and you asking for all of that, but the people don't have? I don't know, man. See, they need people like you on these committee who've been there and done that and know what time it is. Because these people who so-called educated,
they don't understand. They don't have a clue. They don't have
you
a clue. They don't.
Anyhow, buddy. Take care, man. I'll continue to listen.
Thank you very much. You know, a gentleman made some valid points just now, and he talked about urban renewal. Urban renewal was designed for the capability to reach the less fortunate in the inner city community. Many of these urban renewal centers, they don't have the power. They don't have BPL. They don't have social service. They don't have the office of the prime minister. Okay, the staff at some of the urban renewal can't do nothing for the community. Okay, more empowerment is supposed to be in the urban renewal centers, working with community leaders and community-oriented people in the inner city community. Okay, urban renewal don't have no power in the inner city community. We have one right around the corner, and those officers are doing a tremendous job out on Lewis Creek. We have urban renewal in Lewis Creek. They're doing the best that they can. But we have houses. We have kids. You know, job opportunities that can be available. We talk about the fires and the cameras. There was a program by urban renewal where they wanted to go door to door and give each individual homeowner a camera system that was the cheapest so that people could community can have an eye on the community when there's poisons roaming the streets, doing drive-by or breaking in someone's car or breaking in someone's house, at least the neighbor would have a camera. What about the fire extinguishers that could be put in the household houses? So that if there's a fire and the kid is there, at least they would be trained enough to know that there's a fire extinguisher that could be supplied by urban renewal. See, these are things, that's why I say our politicians are not thinking. Every MP in the country is supposed to be thinking about these strategies in a highly dense population of individuals. They're supposed to make sure they have cameras. They should also make sure they have proper electricity. They should also make sure that the houses that kids live in have fire extinguishers, fire warnings, and et cetera. That's the things that we want from our government and from our MPs. Are they doing these things? No. And they help build the inner city communities in the country at large with small businesses. Okay, we're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Yes, thank you. Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Yeah, I'm following the discussion, and I would like to add and augment it a little.
Go ahead, teacher.
On the same vein, the to have the BTVI skill training in the community itself is an excellent idea. I suppose the very same urban renewal centers can have extension, or even the police stations in the area can have extensions, so they, you know, on the very same properties.
Yes.
So that it doesn't incur additional renting of space and so on. And also persons assisting in those programs, person volunteering their time or working for a stipend to assist in training others, providing a hot lunch, because since they don't have to come to or go to a far outpost as in Glaston Road or in Old Trail, then they won't need transportation money, but
yes,
at least you have something to eat and water to
drink,
so that they can provide, you know, things like that. The suggestion about fire extinguisher, and also you mentioned something else about, I think, the
cameras.
Cameras and all those are excellent ideas. And I'm hoping that when those things are done, and I'm going to say it in quotation marks,
yes,
and take them and sell them.
Yes, yes, yes.
Rather than have them there for the purpose for which they were given. In addition to that, persons need to relate, mix and mingle with persons in distress so that you know what they're going through.
Yes.
I thought of a situation just recently this week. I was taking my daughter to work on a 6 o'clock shift. And I passed someone on the road, perhaps waiting for a bus. I took my daughter to work, and I was returning, and the person was still standing on the same spot.
Wow.
But this time around, another person was standing there as well. So I turned around and offered them both a ride. One said they were going Quaco Street, the other said they were going, Doctor's Hospital.
Wow.
So I said, no problem, not so small, nowhere is very far, you know, I can take you. Because sometimes people ask me and I don't take them, so I feel guilty.
Yeah, yeah.
But I said, the gas is expensive, so all I'm going to do, I'm going to charge you that same bus fare, right? You know, the same $1.50.
Yes.
And you know, when the first one got to Quaco Street, about before that, she would start talking a little bit of politics and all whatnot, you know, trying to blame the government or blame that and all of that, you know. And I didn't entertain that conversation. And so, came out of the car and walked off. Actually, the person wanted me to actually take them to Quaco Street, to the actual home. I said, no, man, the bus won't go to Quaco Street. The bus driver needs. And so that was, now the next person to the hospital gave me $5, and I gave her back even her change, so that I gave her $3.50 change, just so that to be committed and be responsible. And I took the person all the way to Bay Street, because they wasn't going doctors, but they actually was going in that vicinity.
Okay.
But I just mentioned that to say how people can be ridiculous, loose, and in quotation marks, vulgar, rude, dishonest, and not even appreciate the kindness of someone.
Yeah.
And it make you think twice
about helping them.
Who to help and who not to help.
Yes.
Because some people, they take your kindness as a weakness.
Yes.
And abuse you.
Yes.
So, but we can't give up. We got to keep on working. Yes. And now, one last situation. I told someone I was assisting in a table tennis and ping pong, and I explained to them that it's a sport that the Chinese play. He said, man, the Chinese must give you plenty of money for that. I said, no, this is not a Chinese giving me any money for that. I'm assisting the young people. So some people only think of money, and by thinking of money, people are not offering themselves to help others, and only thinking of what they can get out of the situation. So that's my last 5 cents on the discussion that you're having this afternoon.
Yes,
and
sir.
Saying that we also need to have people who are willing to help and also people who are willing to want to get help.
Yes, and appreciate when the help comes, appreciate the little help that you get. Yes. Thank you very much. You did a wonderful job, teacher. And let me add something on to that. We have come to a point where we're decaying as a society, that even when you want to help somebody, because of the decay and they have lost their manners, they have lost their respect, you know, they become unkind. It's because of the breakdown of society. The struggle has become so real that they have turned into a grumpy, mad human being. Unselfish, you know. As much as you help them and you don't help them one time, they'd be the same one who wants to set someone up to hurt you or say something towards you, you know. And that's why I said we have to work on changing the mindset. Get people to be more kind on. Listen, I tell you, per 100,000 person with 100 murders, we are conflict zone. So if our government is not looking at this statistics and understand we are conflict zone, we're in big trouble. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Yes, good evening, Scrooge. Hope everything's good, my brother.
Everything's best, brother.
As always, man. Scrooge, I was listening to you when you was talking about certain things, and I think what you should do, Scrooge, you remember Dr. Kevin King, who had the Kingdom Government Movement,
Yes, sir.
You need to go and listen. I mean, if you don't have it, I'll try to see if I could reach out to you and send it to you. But he was on an interview with Steve McKinney, and he was explaining how our government is a trustee of the IMF, or the IMF is our trustee, or something like that. And he was explaining how we sign our rights over to them and our government. And from 1992, there's been no real policy that has come from us. Everything has been coming from the IMF and the international community, that the IMF has been structuring our country, mm-hmm. and been putting in place legislations to fit the country the way they want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that makes sense, too, because then when you hear them talking about they getting IMF loans and things, mm-hmm. the loans are only for specific reasons, like road construction.
Mm-hmm.
You understand where I'm coming from? The money that's borrowed is not for real, is not for, to be used for real country development, mm-hmm. but things like roads.
Mm-hmm.
You understand where I'm coming from? So
yes, sir.
Our government leaders don't have a vision or a mindset to fix this country, because mm-hmm. they understand that when they go there, they don't have to think about those things. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with a religious leader in this country who was into politics one time ago, when Dion Hanna was having that Congress thing here, I mean, a couple of years back. And this man sat down in a room with me and about three or four other persons. And he explained to me, Scrooge, how the oppressor, the white man, them, or whoever the case may be, when we have a majority rule, how they sit down with our black leaders, our potential black leaders, and told them, look, man, y'all ain't got to worry about nothing. We can sit by. Y'all can sit by. We can take care of everything. Y'all just sit there and let us handle everything. You need to hear about how they gave up their authority and how from back then. You understand where I'm coming from? But another thing too, Scrooge, this silly season thing. We need to stop calling political season or election season silly season. That's absolutely ridiculous. This is supposed to be serious season. This is supposed to be the time when we sitting down among ourselves,
yes.
discussing the possible candidates and divisions that they have. This ain't supposed
yes.
to be silly season.
Yes, my brother.
And just being rude and disrespectful of one another. I saw a brethren on Facebook. He's a person who's been dealing with the PLP, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was under this post. With the FNM candidates or whatever the case would be, he up under there, PLP, 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 bunch of PLP, and then to the bottom he say PLP in your P, you know, regarding to a woman. You understand? I come from a school.
Yeah,
right? So I type up under him. I say, brethren, I say, I use the person who'd be calling the radio sometime from time to time. I say, man, you know, we need to act more mature and
different. Yes,
and I say,
yes.
Look, you can't only as a big grown man, and you know what I mean? I mean, you know, what you expect from the children?
Yeah.
You understand? So he typed back, man, this silly season, man, you got to grow thick skin and all this. And I say, well, mother flip, it's like we don't have no mature adults in this country, Scrooge.
Yeah.
You understand? It's like we are conditioned to be fools.
Yeah.
You understand? And the thing about it is that our leaders, they get the loudest mouth people. That's the politicians who they get the loudest mouth people, and you know, emptying the people who making the most noise, but who ain't got no brains. You understand? I'm from the code there, and to rile people up and to get people up on their side. But these people don't have no integrity. Oh. All these people are be concerned about is the money in their pocket. And once they get no money in their pocket, like they go there, and they don't care what they say, what they do, because it's all about the money in their pocket, and it's not about the development of a better country.
Yeah.
You understand where I come from, brother?
Yes, sir.
And I can close at this point right there, brother, because it's the one that you have been talking about, the gentleman just called to another one before him. They were talking about skills, training, and what we need and how we need to bring some relief to the youth. And see, Scrooge, that's what I wanted to do.
Mm.
Because when I sat down and I came up with what I have, mm-hmm. I say, Mother Sick, I say, you know something, boy? I say, this right here, you could use this to help other people. You could use this to bring hope to the hopeless, the young men them on the street who feel as if they are unemployable because they don't have a high school diploma, because they never finished high school. Who don't even want to go look for a job because they feel as if they're unqualified? I say I could teach them a skill where they could sit in their yard and make money without bothering nobody. You understand? And let me tell you why I'm screwed. Remember a couple of years ago when you was in your yard, in your area, you and a brethren was in your yard, and this brethren came there looking for you, and he can come and show you some coconut crop.
That's what you remember. Magnus is Rasta. He's Rasta from Angleston.
You remember that?
You were from Angleston, right?
No, I live in Angleston.
I remember when you come there, when you bring the display stuff for me, yeah. And they were professional,
and
remember that?
It was just you and another brethren who was there.
Remember? Yeah, yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember you, man. Yes, I am.
So, school, let me ask some school. I need anybody to make money?
No, listen to me. This guy is talented. You need to see his work.
So, you see, school, see, I am one of those persons who want to do what you was talking about, bring skills to people, where they could make a living for themselves, where they could have hope for themselves. I'm that kind of person, Scrooge.
And you have some beautiful work.
I'm the kind of person, Scrooge, who don't need to be doing that, because I could go and mind my own business, because like I say, Scrooge, you see what I have.
Yes, but you...
And I even didn't show you everything.
No, listen.
You understand where I come from,
Yes,
Scrooge?
Yes, brother.
But you see, the public will have to get behind people like myself and demand that the government support people like myself, Scrooge.
Yes,
people need
to
do that, because guess what? See, if we don't do the right thing, then we don't deserve to get the right thing.
Right, right.
You understand? So if it takes unity for something to work and we can't unite, then we deserve to suffer and die,
right? Yes, you're right, my brother.
You understand what I'm saying? You're right. If we can't do the right thing, then we should get the wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand I come from my brother?
Yeah, my brother. You're right.
You see, now, I've been on this radio over and over, and Scrooge, I ain't a damn lie, Scrooge. I mean, like, I've been all over the place trying to, like, show people and get someone to support me and get behind me and see this vision I have and get on board, because I don't see nothing else around here better than what I'm trying to bring.
No, there's nothing better. Listen, why? Because it's pure talent. You see?
You
it's pure talent. So, and we have the tourism, and the thing is, boss, we have the tourism market that those things could sell for right now.
Exactly, brother. But what I want is Scrooge, let me tell you something. If you are a person who is truly concerned with nation building, if you are really sincere about that, right, then whenever you see someone who has something that can make the nation a better place, right, you know what I mean? You ain't seen nobody with nothing better than that, then that's why I build that right now. So, and it don't matter who have it. And that's another thing we have to get over to, Scrooge. We have to start to respect people for merit. See?
Yeah, merit.
We're gonna have to have a shift in mentality.
Yes.
We see right for right and wrong for wrong, Dredd.
Yes, yes.
You understand where I come from?
Yes.
Where we don't walk in the seat of the scornful, where we don't do all these things that the Bible speak of, but where we treat each other because man beats one. We got to see each other as ourselves, man. You know what I mean? And Scrooge, and you talk about selfishness. It's obvious that I ain't selfish because I could hog my thing up with myself and say, you know, but like, I could be rich. I could help people ahead.
You're talented.
But I say, no. Yeah. I say, I want to share this because why? I could create hundreds of sustainable jobs in this country, man.
Hundreds. He's not lying.
Hundreds. You understand? And the thing about Scrooge is that I could teach a man a skill where he could pick up a shell off the ground,
man.
Scrooge.
And he's talking about shell.
Right? But he could pick up a shell off the ground, go in his job with minimum tools, gang, and he ain't gonna make the fanciest of stuff, but he could make something where he could make money. He could money on the ground. He could pick up a coconut shell off the ground,
right,
go in his eye with a hacksaw and different things and create something. He could go and sell it.
Yes.
That's hope for a person.
Yes.
That could give a person hope. You know what I mean? Like you could start to see a different, you know what I mean? So instead of picking up that tool, will it go pop, pop, pop? Pick up a tool, will it go?
Yes, yes.
You understand?
And mindset change.
You could pick up some tools to make some money.
Yes. Yes.
You understand? And Scrooge, I know within myself that I probably could have one or two persons who then dropped dead, I probably could have helped.
Yeah. What are you talking to?
You understand what I'm saying, you brother?
Yes.
But like I say, keep up the good work,
brother. Thank you.
But this country need to understand, screws, that we got have to do the right.
Yeah.
If we want the right, but if we don't, and if we never do the right, but we get suffering dead. But like Martin Luther King said, either we learn to live as brothers, or we
perish.
Suffer and die as fools.
Yes. Yeah, my brother.
You understand?
Yes.
Enough respect, you screws.
Yeah,
like I say, keep up.
Thank you very much. That brother right there, yeah, I met him, but this must be seven years ago or 6 years ago. And man, this guy is talented, you know. Chester Cooper, the Minister of Tourism, he talk about the tourism increase in the country. How much of this? We had, what, 9.7 million visitors this year by boat and by air. And he's saying we estimated to be what? More than that. We are highly unemployed. There's a lack of non-persons in this country who don't have no trade. We have an industry, which is the tourism industry. And that gentleman right there, he's talented. Just like guys who do wood carving, persons who jet ski operators, hair braiders, and et cetera. With the high unemployment in the country, and high poverty, and we are one of the richest, but we have a high destination of tourists that visit our shore. They're not tourist customers. And if we could train our kids, like have that gentleman right there who call in, and have us an instructor, we pay him right. Well, let him wake to one of the urban renewal centers. Let him wake to one of the centers if we establish BTVI in the inner city community. He would be a perfect instructor. You know, we give a guy like that when $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, and let him train about 100 persons per year, and make sure that they have their business plan, that when they finish and government can establish them to have a little slot downtown Bay Street on the Fort or Fort Charlotte or somewhere close to downtown where they could go and set up their business legit and make an honest living, we change the whole mindset what's going on in this country. Caller, I'm going to let you get on for about 2 minutes. If you could, make it real quick. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon, Scrooge.
Good afternoon.
All is good.
Yes, sir.
So you let the Michael run for 2 hours. They said, you let the Michael take over the show. Now he let me get 2 minutes.
No, because the time is running out. You know how to go.
Yeah. Hey, but I'm just on a national security note, right?
Go ahead.
The film and I'm Place Control Board, right?
Hey.
Scrooge. You know for crime in this country.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want no kidnapping in the Bahamas, eh?
Huh?
No. No one ever get kidnapped in the Bahamas, right?
No.
So, okay. How could the Bahamas Police and Self-Control Board allow a movie be show that the police there, big place there on the
Bahamas? Oh, I know you're talking about the movie, but Kareem Mortimer.
Yeah. But talking about kidnapping and thing, right?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, that ain't, it's in Creole, it's got no subtitle or nothing, so for people to understand, it's in English, and to me, it's a tutorial for persons who are a patient descent to literally go in there to be trained how to kidnap people.
Yeah, that's
In Haiti, that movie, and deeper than that, right? The actors in the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
The weapons they are using, they start machine guns and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, they have no license for that, but they showing it, and you know, they, as a movie, and you know, and we be allowing it to play illegal firearms. Who run 80? Gang. All right, and as they in the midst of the gang doing their movie, they're part of the gang. All right, we gotta wake up, man. What kind of government is this we have? I am serious. What kind of government is this we have? How could you allow it? No subtitles? Place control board allow it.
Mm.
The Minister of National Security allow it. You know, no kidnapping in this country. You don't need a screening tutorial in no Creole to show Haitians how to kidnap in the Bahamas. You don't need that. The government needs to put their foot down and be responsible. Sometimes you have to say no. There's a word called no in the vocabulary. You tell people, no, you cannot do that. Scrooge, am I talking foolishness?
You're making your point. You're talking. You can see you was the one who represented you right now, and you're representing the country. So
honestly, man.
No, you speaking, brother.
And the police ain't going to look around and pick up these people and say, who's starring in a movie and thing like that. And as you said, you see the weapons there?
Mm.
They warmed that weapon and thing, man. And they got the audacity to bring it here, say movie. And they ain't no fake weapon. They real. Hello? Hello?
I listening, brother. I listening. I can't say, you know, because it can look real.
They real.
No, I mean, listen to me.
They know, are real.
All the movies, it can be real.
They real.
I mean, listen, Haiti is the number one firearms country in the Western Hemisphere, okay?
You know.
The U.S. dump off all the AK-47s, what they take from the Iraq War. Those guns you see got confiscated in the Iraq War, they dump all those in Haiti. Haiti is the number
come
one.
Come on, man.
Yes.
Somebody stand up for too much in this country, you know?
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying.
Stand up for too much, man. That ain't right, man. Who's do that? And we don't have no army or nothing, you know? That's when we got the defense force. They have one or two of them or three of them, but they ain't got a bunch of them to pay in Haiti.
Yeah.
We need to stop it in this country. You can't allow that brain money to wake up, right?
All right.
Honestly, man.
Yeah, I feel you. Thank you.
They turn and think all they're looking for is to get both back in and grave them, you know. you know, seriously, but honestly,
I listen
you know.
To you. You know,
at any
know
means,
that's politics, man. Politics.
At any means, that is a nice with the day, and people don't care. Huh? And let me say something to Scoochie. You see them playing again.
Who?
What's the season in this election?
Say it again. Let me hear that. Say it again.
They playing like stupid, like they being no election call in 1, 2, 3 months. Oh, no,
you think so? You think so?
My boy, what you say? Catch the happening of God, be best. You think it's a game, mate?
Nobody listening to you, man. You're giving your opinion.
Right?
Yeah, thanks,
and
man.
Then the thing about it is, they will not take that daily voters register and wash that out, clean that up, and come with a new one. Come with a new voter's card. Not even a voter's card. We talking about this high-tech time now, man. We need card and things. Like, our banking card and things. Card and things, right? We need chip and things in these cards and things and things with these man. And things. These paper things. You can take the picture off and then put some of that picture and things and then go with voting and things. It's nonsense we be dealing with in this country, you know?
Yeah, man.
And they know what they're doing, you know?
Yeah, but anyway.
And it's Felicia.
Yeah, you make some good points, man. But I completely out of time, man. You want to say something before I go real quick? He left already. Yeah, man, you know, he gave us a mouthful just now, you know. I respect that, you know. He's talking about, you know, they real guns and et cetera and stuff like that, you know. Talking about the Korean Martin Mars new movie and et cetera. You know what I mean? You know, they have a lot of guns with look, you know. But I know you really want to knock the Haitians, you know. You really want to knock the Haitians. We really want to blame the Haitians for all our problems in the country, you know. All our problems in the country is the Haitian people, you know. You know, they overcrowding us. They healthcare. They doing all the murders. They doing all the crime. You know, they full of the prison. All the women's getting pregnant. They take all the beds at the hospital. You know, but they ain't giving them no passport office. They ain't giving them no citizenship, right? So who to blame? You know, we won't blame, you know. We won't blame the white man, you know. Right now, let me tell you all the blame. Listen to me. It ain't nothing to do with the nation. We have a serious problem, nation, and we could be finished as Bahamians. So if we don't go into small business and start to get in business, we finish in this country. Okay? We finish. Listen. Okay? So, the immense, you don't blame. Our politicians have doomed us, okay, by not empowering us. And we have some other people. We have Greeks. We have Europeans. We have Jamaicans. We have Haitians. We have Filipinos. We have Cubans, we have the Chinese, and we talking about the Haitian. What about the Chinese, who making more money than the Haitians? Huh? We want all the Haitians, right? But we ain't looking at all the Chinese who owns all the liquor store, all the wholesale, apartments, everything. We won't point out the Haitians. All the shop are the Chinese, mind you. Let me tell you what to do. Okay? Our politicians doom us. Okay? The only thing we can do now is to protect our borders as much as possible and to get our government to invest in us. So I'm encouraging people who live in constituencies to strategize on what you would like to ask your MP, so that when he comes around to your door, you have a plan for your community. Ask him, what about the small business loan? What about the road need to get fixed? How are you going to deal with this? What about the garbage collection, that the garbage truck comes around every three weeks? Time is then. The garbage is overflowed. What you going to do for that? We have this road, need some speed bumps, those cars speeding up and down. The road is unfit to drive, all kind of tires bursting. We have a whole hose down there with guys hanging. You know, we have kids hanging on the streets late at night with nothing to do. What are we going to do to empower them? You know, all these kind of stuff we have to think about. But again, you know, we want to blame the Haitians for everything. Haitian is our number one problem in the country. That's our number one talk of the Haitian. Haitian. Who allowed it? The government. I say, screwing up all the ministers of foreign affairs, screwing them up. From Loftus Roka time, screwing them up. Screwing all them who ministers of foreign affairs and all of, screwing up Fred Mitchell. Okay? Screwing up Fred Mitchell. He is responsible, the next foreign affairs minister responsible for giving us citizenship. You know, Fred Mitchell has given you a good example why he's given the citizenship. Huh? Some, illegally. Some are justifiable for persons who've been here for a very long time in the Bahamas. They have done their due diligence in the country. They do it the proper way. And they get their Bahamian passport and they become Bahamian citizens. Some do it illegally. Like right now, getting around election time, both parties would go get people registered. Both parties would go get documents for people. Both parties would go to JPS. Huh? Let's talk about it. I have a couple more minutes. I give it 3 more minutes. Both parties would go to JPS, get documents, and be able to get voter's card. And then from there, some big-time general or someone in there will be able to send them to somewhere to get their voter's card. And then you listen. Huh? Don't blame the Haitian people, buddy. Blame the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, governments over the years for what is happening in our country right now. Because it ain't the Bahamian people itself. It's the Bahamian people it's the Bahamian civil servants who work for government, who are the power and the authority to pass documents on the individuals in the country. So don't blame the Haitian. I'm a raw-born Bahamian, Isaac Brown. Isaac Brown on two sides. And Isaac Brennan. My great-granddaddy, Harold Brown, and my great-grandmother was Bastian, Agnes Bastian. And on my grandmother's side, Lavius Brown. And my great-granddaddy is Otto Brennan, one of the first police officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Alvin Brennan, the one who gave his one vote, along with Sir Randall Fox, is a descendant of the Brennans, who is my descendant, is my family as well. So I'm a raw-born Bahamian. And I'm going to say this. If we look in to blame the Haitians for our problems, we get a big thing coming. Because it's too far gone now. We protect our borders. We do the right procedure for individuals to get their proper documents the right way. Okay? Of course, what are we going to do? Talk about Haitian every time we come on the radio? It's nothing we can do. What are we going to do? Let me ask you a question right now. The situation right now in this country, what can we do? Can the government do anything to get all these people out of the country? Legally. Why do you think they ain't doing it? for probably for those who coming on the ship, the slouts, and sneaking in, and immigration coming and check them. This is the procedure, people. The only thing we do now is empower ourselves, people. So I heard the opposition leader, Michael Pintard, he talked about the fact that if he's elected the next government in the country, that he would invest $10 million into small business, because Michael Pintard knows exactly that if he wanted to change the direction of the country, he have to be able to empower people in the country. And if you empower the people in the country, you would have an equitable economy. This would boost the economy tremendously. This would boost the sales of Super Value, all the food stores, because now when people start their small business, they would be going to the Super Values to buy their supplies. They would be going to all of the major stores to buy their supplies. So this would increase revenue in the inner city community. And in that particular spot, there were so much people who would be unemployed, and with the proper training programs, you know, there'd be jobs for plumbers, electricians, you know, landscapers. And this would create, and not only that, the gentleman who called a little earlier, who was talking earlier, he is the one who does a lot of good souvenirs, you know, with coconut. And with the 7.7 tourists that came to the shore year before last, and now we have a record 9.7 million visitors, you can imagine if we were to push small businesses along with the BTVI in each community, along with BAMSI in the community, along with the fishing industry, the teachers of the fish, you know, the season like snappers, jack, and the conch season and grouper, because you know we is island, so we could also buy fish. So all these are trades. This would change everything. So the $10 million Michael Pintard is talking about, he knows exactly how that can change the directory of the inner city community. I'm going to close on this. Reporters, over 1,100 to 1,200 individuals got locked up for selling drugs in the country on the street by the police, who were apprehended. 900 of those individuals were before the court for selling drugs. Again, if we could change that from guys thinking about selling drugs, because this is the only option they have when they come into prison or come into school, and for them to make a couple of laws, the only thing they come up with is to look at the way they could have a business and they go set up their dope shop. They buy a little quarter and half a pound, some 2 pounds, some 5 pounds, some 10 pound shop, and they turn that into business. But that is a business that it's not a sustainable business. It's a business that deals with your safety. It also puts your family and friends at risk from them being a victim of getting locked up when the police come to your establishment, or some person coming to rob you, or a drug deal going bad. So it's not a good business to go into, but I understand why a lot of the guys go into the business of selling drugs. As the statistics state, it's because they can't find no other work. But we have the market. We have the market. We have the tourism market. We have the trade, you know. So I just hope that our leaders are listening. I hope that these new upcoming candidates and ministers understand what they are fighting for. They are fighting for to use solutions to benefit the country's next generation. So I'm Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio. I'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Bless up, Elroy. Get up, get up, get up.